You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So there's people in this room. This is really exciting. I am not seeing a light on the camera. Can you check, cut over to the live stream feed? Nothing. Oh, man. Oh. So sorry if you're watching online because you're not hearing me right now, because you're not seeing us either. So, wow, we've already had some glitches today, but it's great to have real people here, and we are week two in this series called Building Blocks, which is, as Kyle already mentioned in his prayer, kind of the foundations of what it means to follow Jesus, and how that works. And before we get into today's point, today's topic, any luck? Nothing? Yeah, I don't know. It said earlier it wouldn't work, so I don't know if there's anything you can do about it anyway, so... So if you end up listening to this online later because you couldn't watch it online, I apologize. Technology and stuff. So, but I want to just kind of do a quick survey, if I can. Because are we good? I mean, do you want to? Are you able to stay with me, or do you need to stay there? So hi. Okay. So what I want to do is I'm going to show you an object, and when you see this object is going to be tied to a movie. And each of these objects isn't just tied to a movie, but it's tied to a movie in a way that someone desperately wants it. Okay? So, and again, I was excited about having people text in their answers if they were online, but again, if you're listening to this later online, you can text me and I'll be like, what in the world is that, like 4 years later. Anyway, the first one is this. What movie did the person want a Red Ryder BB gun? Chris, you're wrong, Art. Art is a huge fan of A Christmas Story. So, correct. A Christmas Story. Remember, the whole point of the movie was that he wanted, I guess there was more than that, but the point of the movie was probably to make money. but the whole point of the plot of the movie was that Ralphie wanted his Red Ryder BB gun. Okay, the next one is, and this is, unfortunately it gives it away a little bit in the scene, but what movie did the person want Excalibur? That Excalibur. Which, in case you were wondering, is a 64 Fender Stratocaster in classic white with triple single coil pickups and a whammy bar. Wayne's World. Yes, if you could read his hat very closely, it said Wayne's World. But Excalibur. And what was his line? Does anybody remember? What did he say about how much he wanted Excalibur? Anybody? She will be mine. Oh, yes, she will be mine. That was his line all about that one. How about, oh man, seriously? Now I'm going to have my own technology up here. Okay, this is probably a little bit of giveaway, but The Ring of Power. The Ring of Power, and of course, that was from what? Lord of the Rings, right. And Gollum was one of the many people, pretty much the entire movie, everybody wanted the Ring of Power. But his was, you know, it's mine, my precious. You know, that's how he referred to this thing that he wanted so desperately. Let's see, this is maybe a giveaway as well, but the golden ticket. Willy Wonka, yeah, and depending on your age, you're like, Willy Wonka. And if you're a little younger, you'd be like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But they're all from the book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And actually, we talked about Gene Wilder a couple of weeks ago, back when we were looking at genealogies from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There's a connection there, Willy Wonka. Anyway, the golden ticket, at least the beginning of the movie, was everyone frantically trying to buy Wonka bars so that they could get the golden ticket, which, as it says, at 10 a.m. sharp, it ensures admittance to the front gates of the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, but you know, even to the point where people lied about the tickets, and the one guy, you know, bought all the bars that he could and had all of his servants, workers pull open the bars to get the find the golden ticket. So yeah, they wanted that one. Now this is a little bit like off, not necessarily on the beaten track, But it's maybe because I'm a certain age and you might not be. But who wanted $2? I want my $2. Does anybody know what that movie was? Better Off Dead. Better Off Dead with John Cusack. And this is a paper boy that throughout the movie, we don't even know why, but he keeps showing up in random spots because apparently John Cusack never paid him his $2 for his newspaper subscription, which is about what it costs now, I'm pretty sure. And that's his little comb. Anybody ever had a switchblade comb? I did. And as you see, it was really useful. Maybe it was like, oh, it wasn't a comb. It was just a real blade. But I want my $2. Throughout the movie, he's like, I want my $2. And it's always like this, you know, there's one spot where he's skiing and the boy comes up on a snowboard next to him. Like, I want my $2. So he really wanted that. Now this is a little more recent. What movie did someone desire all six Infinity Stones? What movie? Yeah, Avengers, probably technically, well, I guess not technically, it'd be the MCU, because he's looking for the Infinity Stones throughout multiple movies, but until Infinity War did Thanos get them. But yeah, the whole point of that long, drawn-out, what is it, ended up being 22 movies, I think, total, for that saga, that storyline of him trying to get these Infinity Stones so that he could destroy. Sorry, maybe you haven't watched it. So that something random could happen. So Thanos wanted all six Infinity Stones. And then what movie series did this person want the acorn? Right, all the Ice Age movies. I mean, there's all these little shorts tied to Scrat, constantly trying to get the acorn. There was that deep, deep, strong desire, and you know, if the words could be my precious, my acorn, it will be mine. Oh yes, it will be mine. And this whole idea of desiring and craving, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but I want to kind of drop the point on you for this week. And again, this series is all about these 2 months, about building blocks. If we're going to become closer to Jesus, if we become more like Jesus, if we're going to grow in our relationship with God, there's some very foundational, basic things that we need to do. In church world, they call these spiritual disciplines. And for you in this room, and I remember talking to the creative team about this a couple of months ago when we were planning this series, you know, if you are brand new to following Jesus, these things are very important. And if you've been following Jesus for like all of your life and like 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever, these are still important to the foundation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. These are things we can constantly work on. And so last week we had talked about how, just in a general sense, that one of the things you can do to build your relationship with God is to spend time with Him daily. And I said last week that is the foundation for all these other things that kind of tie into that, because we need to be connected to Jesus. So the point this week is, to build your relationship with God, you need to read His Word intentionally. To build your relationship with God, you need to read His Word intentionally. And you might be like, oh, I do read the Bible sometimes. So, okay, that's good. I might actually push you to go a little bit beyond just, yeah, I do sometimes. And maybe you're like, oh, I study the Bible for 15 hours every day. Well, maybe go for 16. Because we want to grow. We want to become more like Jesus. And we'll see why this matters. But the passage we're going to look at to start out here is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Can you turn on the house lights, since we have people in the room? It's good to see you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, the lights don't work anymore either. Nothing is working right now. So I'm going to use Morse code to tap this out. We'll do smoke signals in the parking lot to send it to the people that are not able to be with us. But 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have the YouVersion app, it's a free app. Totally recommend you get it. But 1 Peter is in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 2 and just looking at two verses. I'm reading from the NIRV today, just because I wanted to clarify a few things about it. But this is what Peter writes as he writes this letter to the church. He says, like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of God's Word. It will help you grow up as believers. You can do this now that you have tasted how good the Lord is. And so Peter says that we, as followers of Jesus, we should crave the Word of God. We should long for it. We should desire it. We should say, I want my God's Word. That'd be really weird, but, you know, it sounds like that. Or like, you know, it will be mine. Oh, yes, it will be mine. My precious. Like, this idea of desiring something with sincere passion, and I want more of it. And that's what Peter says that we should be doing when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to God's Word. And so I want to kind of break down a few things here about this particular passage, but I'm going to do it in reverse. I'm going to go backwards through this passage because I think it might help us understand some things a little bit better. And I've got here what I call four steps to a healthy obsession. Like, what does it mean? I mean, we can talk about being obsessed, and people are obsessed with all sorts of things that they shouldn't be obsessed with. People can be obsessed with good things. And so I just want to talk about what is a four steps to a healthy obsession. And the first thing that Peter says is that you know that God is good. You know God is good. He says, you know that. And I just kind of, before we go any further into this, you know, in your own life, in your own experiences, think back. You know, I mean, it has certainly been not normal. I was just telling Dave as we first talked this morning, I mean, we've had like three major holidays since the last time we met in person. So it's like, how was your Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year? Oh, good. Okay. Things are not normal, but if we just pause for a moment, we have so much to be grateful for. We have an incredible God that is so good to us. And we know that. And just in the midst of the whatever, whatever, we forget that. And we get distracted and we lose sight of that. And Peter just says, look, you guys, you know that God is good. And if you can establish that, if you understand that, then we can move on. And this is what he says in verse 3, again going backwards. He says, you can now do this now. You can do this now that you have tasted how good the Lord is. And that phrase taste, I mean, it's just a cool imagery. Like, you know, when you try something that's good, you usually tell people about it. So we about 2 months ago, we bought our first grill ever. Actually, we've had some of you gave us a grill. My parents gave us a grill when we first got married. We bought a grill, not girl. Grill. Okay, just clarifying. People were looking at me weird. We bought our first grill, and we bought a pellet grill, and it smokes things, and it is so good. And just last week, Kyle was asking me. He said, "So what have you smoked so far?" And without going into an inappropriate response to that, we're not online now. I can say whatever I want. No, but I said, actually, it's not about what we have smoked so far. It's what we haven't. I mean, we've done burgers, we've done chicken, we've done pork, we did ribs, we did pizza, we did steaks, we did meatloaf, we did macaroni and cheese. I mean, we've done, and it's only been 2 months. And here's the thing. Oh, I've tasted it. And it's good. It's so good. I'm telling you, you're like, oh, it can't be that. Oh, it is that good. I've tasted how good the pellet grill is. And it's so good. And like, I'm excited right now because tonight we're smoking pizza again. And that sounds really weird. But we know how to party at our house. But I love people. I love hearing you laugh. Like, was that a good joke or not? It doesn't even matter. You're just being nice to me. But we taste how good it is and we're looking forward to it because we get it. And that's what Peter says. It's like, you know that God is good. You've tasted how good he is. And the Greek word, he wrote in Greek, that was the language. The word good doesn't just mean like, oh, that feels nice. It's a word that means that you understand that he is not just good, but he's beneficial. He's profitable without sounding like dollars and cents kind of thing. But the fact, you know, it doesn't mean God's going to make you rich. But the fact that a relationship with Jesus, the more you're connected with him, you know that that's good for you. That it results in good things, things for your benefit, things that are of value, that are profitable to you. And he says, you've tasted, you've experienced how good God is. So he says, because you know that, step one, you know God is good. Then step two is, so grow in him. If God is that good, if God is that wonderful, if you have tasted and been like, yes, I love what God has done for me. He says, then grow in him. Be more like him. I mean, again, to use the pellet grill analogy, and I'm probably going to beat this for a long time, and, you know, just because it's so good. But, you know, if we didn't like it, we wouldn't keep making stuff on the grill. But because we knew it was good, we kept doing it. We wanted more of it. And so we've, you know, again, we're starting to branch out now. We've hit the basics. Like, what else can we smoke? And it's like the, I don't know, like that scene, it was a TV show where they had a wood chipper and they started chipping branches and they're like, what else can we put in here? And they started throwing the couch in and they would throw, it was fun. But that's kind of like, what else can we do? He says, if you get this, then grow in him. If God is that good, then grow, then become more like him. Or as we talked about last week, then be connected to the vine. Then connect with him, because the more you're connected with him, the more you're going to grow in him. And the more you grow in him, the more you're going to know that he is good. You're going to realize that and experience that more and more. And so that's what he says in the last part of verse 2. He says, it will help you grow up as believers. So we'll talk about what the it is. We already read it. But he says, for now, you know, it will help you grow up as believers. We know, we've tasted how good the Lord is, and so as we grow up, as we become more like him, as we become more like Jesus, we call ourselves Christ followers, or maybe you call yourself Christian, which is just little Christ. Like, we want to be more like Jesus. And so this thing that he's telling us is going to help us grow in that. We've tasted that God is good, so now let's grow in him. We want to become more and more and more and more like Jesus. And that's why, if you're new to following Jesus, or you've been following him all your life, there's always more. There's always room for improvement because Jesus was perfect. And so there's always room for us to grow. And so Peter says, look, you know how good God is. So now grow up in him. Grow up as believers. Grow more and more and more. And, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to grow. We want to become more like him. So step one is, you know God is good. Step two is, so grow in him. Step three is, through his word. So grow in him through his word. So he says, okay, how do we grow? How do we become more like Jesus? This Jesus that we love, that we've tasted and realized that he is so good. Peter says, it's through his word. And so in the second part of verse 2 there, he says it this way. He says, the pure milk of God's word. And we'll talk about what, that's kind of a sentence fragment, I know. But the pure milk of God's word. And your translation may say pure spiritual milk. It might say different things there. But the idea is that something that is pure is without contamination, is without anything that is inferior, anything that shouldn't be there. And if you were part of the a foretold experience, right back there was where we had the water bottles. And you had a chance to, you know, talk about purity and, you know, to open a water bottle that's sealed, first of all, and then it says, you know, 100% pure. You're cool with that. If it said mostly pure, you probably wouldn't be. Like, mostly pure isn't good enough. Like, I don't know. No, I don't want mostly pure water. You want pure water. He says this is the pure milk of God's word. And so this whole idea, he says that, that God's word is what will make us grow. The pure milk of God's word, it will help you grow up as believers. And you can do this now that you've tasted how good the Lord is. So he says, because we understand how good God is and we want to become more like him, we are given his word. And this is amazing. You're going to have a chance to talk about this in your prime groups this week about, like, do we realize, we're like, oh yeah, the Bible, okay. But do we realize what that means? That the God of the universe has communicated to us. And as we sang in that last song, you know, his word will never return void. It's always going to do something. It's always going to matter. His promises, if he says that this is going to happen, it's going to happen. That was the whole December series of foretold, God keeping his promises. But that we have this word, and it's not just, we have to guess. And if you want to take some time and do a study of world religions, many of them, it's kind of like, I hope that God kind of is nice to me. I hope I please him. I hope I get reincarnated to the next level. But we have the God of the universe that says, no, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you how to do it. I'm giving you the instructions. And I would say that's probably one of the downsides. Hitting the pellet grill again. And one of the downsides is that the instructions were basically like, you're on your own. Like, and I'm not kidding. Like, it didn't say, here's how to do these things, because there are so many variables when it comes to how to cook and smoke food that it basically said, and I'm not kidding, this was in the instructions, it's like, over time you'll learn how to use this thing. And this idea that over time we're like, okay, I think we figured it out. I mean, we did have a couple of big failures. We had some, I didn't say shrimp, we did shrimp. Shrimp was really good. If you wanted the right flavor, you had to burn it to a crisp. There's a little tension there between good but burnt to a crisp versus not good but not, you know, going to chew up and break off in your teeth. So there's some tension there. We also did a roast that just did not work at all because I didn't realize that the heat, how does it work? The top of it was raw and the bottom was cooked. And I mean raw. So, but all I have to say is that all that was me guessing, and we're still guessing and trying to figure it out. But we don't have to guess. God says, I've given you my word. These are the instructions. This is how to grow. You have the pure milk of God's word, the Bible, so that we can know him. So, you know God is good, so grow in him through his word. And then finally, by craving it. By craving it, by desiring it, by wanting to spend time reading it and studying it and in God's word. Because, I mean, one, we've got a world that will tell you how you should live your life. You've got friends and peer pressure that's going to tell you how you live your life. And, you know, even adults, we deal with that. We've got those things. You've got your own desires and your own sinfulness. And we're going to talk about this in a couple of months in another series called Sorry Not Sorry. About like how we're messed up inside. And so you've got these three things trying to push you away. And God's word is there to direct us on what is true and what is accurate. And so Peter says, you know God is good, so grow in him through his word by craving it. Want God's word. And that's what he says in the very first part of verse 2. He says, like newborn babies. Now it all fits together. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of God's word. And the NIV says crave. But this word means to desire. And you know, some of you are going to be able to be real relevant about the newborn baby craving milk here very soon, but at least an hour from now. Okay. But this idea of a baby, I mean, if you've been around a baby, like they're not sitting around being like, oh, I'm good. I clearly have 4 or 5 hours until I'm supposed to eat. So I'll just let you know when that time comes. But for now, I'm just going to chill. Like, no, newborn babies, like they cry out for milk. They're hungry. They don't just say, oh, I'll get to that when I can. Like this desire, this craving, this longing that a newborn baby has for milk is something that we should have for the Word of God. We need to crave it. We need to have that passion like Ralphie had for the Red Ryder BB gun, like Wayne had for the Stratocaster Excalibur. Let's see if I can remember all of them. Like Gollum had for the ring. Like I missed one. Oh, like the Paperboy had for his $2. That desire. Like Thanos had for the Infinity Stones, and like Scrat had for the Acorn. I think he hit them all. That idea of I want that. I want it. And we obsess over it and think about it. And that is what we are supposed to be doing for God's Word, because it is the source, the resource that we have. And so 4 easy steps to a healthy obsession. No, you know God is good. You know he is. You might not remember that in the moment. You might get distracted at times. But in your core, you know God is good. So grow in him. Become more like him. Because the more we are like Jesus, the more life will be beneficial. This goodness of God will come out more and more. And how do we grow in him? We grow through his word. And it's not just having a Bible. It's certainly not, as we talked about last week, it's not you just sitting in here listening to me read it to you. We talked about how it has to be personal. It's not just through his word. It's by craving his word. It's by desiring God's word and obsessing over it in the sense that we want to read it. We want to spend time in it. We want to learn from it. And so if we're talking about these foundational things about building a relationship with God, if you want to build your relationship with God, you need to read his word intentionally. We need to have that craving and that desire. And sometimes, I mean, I'm a pastor. Like, I get paid to read his word intentionally. I get that. You're like, whatever, Sean, shut up, take your paycheck, read your Bible, leave me alone. I understand that, but there is a sense where this is something that isn't just about my job. This is about my relationship with Jesus and my desire to read His Word. And I love the Bible. I love to read it. I love to study it. And I want more of it. And it's one of these things for you, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. How do we do this? It doesn't need to be a three-hour study session. It could just be a five-minute intentional reading that you commit yourself to. We already said last week about the idea of spending time with God daily, how that's important. And this is something that you can do during that time that you spend with God daily. But start small. And one of the things that I've found is that it's something that the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more you want to do it. So sometimes you kind of just need to suck it up and go for it, because it grows in us. And as God's Word grows in us, then we grow in Jesus and we realize how good He is. I mean, it's everything that Peter talked about. So the question is, and this is what we looked into last week as well, we're supposed to read God's Word intentionally. How do we do that? And, how do we, just some ways to satisfy that craving, if you will. How do we read His Word intentionally? Is that on there? Oh. Whoa. There we go. All right. So I just want to kind of give some practical things. And understand, just like I said last week, if you were here, or if you weren't here, if you're online, but you can also find this at mc3church.org and click on Listen to the Point and listen to last week, or you can watch the live stream from last week. But I'm not going to go into too much depth. I realize there's a lot more to this, and I did the same thing last week with how. Like, there's a lot more to this, but I'm just kind of starting with some basic foundation, some basic understanding of what does it look like when it comes to reading God's Word intentionally. How do we do that? Okay, I get it. I need to crave God's Word, but how? What does that look like? And I'm just going to give you a couple things here. The first thing is study it. And study it, this is different than reading it. Studying it is different than reading it. And again, you have to read to study. And I'm not talking necessarily about you taking pages of notes or anything like that. I'm just saying you're taking the time to read it regularly, intentionally, intently. There's a very difference with, scrolling through your Facebook news feed and maybe following the directions for a recipe. Because one you might read, the other one you probably study. Because you want to if you're making that recipe, you want to make sure you've got all the pieces right. Or you made a mess in the pan because you forgot to plan. And planning ahead is the one and only way. Sorry, a song stuck in the back of my head. I could sing it, but I'm not going to. So it's this idea of studying it, like of being intentional like you would for something that you'd read. And in Joshua 1:8, this is what God says to Joshua. Now Joshua is getting ready to lead the Israelites into the promised land, into the land that God had promised them. And they've been out of the desert now after 40 years of wandering under the leadership of Moses. Moses dies, Joshua's in charge, and God basically is like, Joshua, you're the man now. You're leading these people in. And multiple times God says in this passage here, don't be afraid, Joshua. Don't be afraid. I know this is intimidating. I know this is a big deal, but don't be afraid. And one of the things he tells Joshua in dealing with that fear is to study this book of instruction continually. He says, and for Joshua, we're only talking just a few. We're talking five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all Joshua had. Now, we have the entire Word of God, 66 books, Genesis through Revelation. But at the time for Joshua, it was this part. Study it continually. Meditate on it day and night. And we'll get back to meditate it in a second. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. We'll talk about obedience in a moment. He says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And this idea of prosperity and success, we talked about that last week. Like, the more we are like Jesus, the more we're going to want the things that Jesus wants. And therefore, because we want and Jesus wants, Jesus is going to give it to us. And so we'll get it. Jesus doesn't want us to be rich. Like, that's not one of the, like, and you will be rich. There's the idea of when we are, kind and generous with our money, God will give us money so that we can be more generous with it. But that's different than just prosperity. And so I just want you to understand that as you see these ideas of getting what you want or succeeding, it's not because God gives us and we just ask for it. It's because when we become more like Jesus, we are going to be asking for the things that God wants for us to begin with. And God's going to be like, sure, I'll be glad to give that to you. Like when my kids were to say, hey, Dad, is it okay if I eat some food today? Can I be fed? Like, nope, sorry, son. That's a strange request. I'm not used to feeding you. Like, no, of course. I mean, it depends what he's asking to eat and when he's asking to eat that. But the idea is that it's an easy request to grant because, of course, we eat meals. That's what we do. It's good for us. So, what does God tell Joshua? He says, study it continually. Spend time in it. Get to know it continually, regularly. And as we said, you know, daily. Just if you're spending time with God daily, read His Word daily. And again, not just a reading to get through, not just a click on the button on YouVersion to say you did it. And we'll kind of say this in a second too, but like, I know for me, I sometimes can read something and I'm not trying to read to get through, and I'll read it and I'll have thought about 15 different things and then finish the entire page. And I'm talking like maybe fiction. I'm reading a book. I'll read the entire page and go, what did I just read? I have no idea what I read, but I did figure out that I need to turn that light off when I'm done, and I need to make sure that I add some gas to the mower. Like you know, and so this idea of studying is saying, we're just being intentional. It doesn't mean that you have to get super fancy, but just instead of being like, okay, I'm done. Like, no. Take the time to study it, to read it continually, as Joshua said. And then adding a layer to it, let me say this about studying it. If you find, you know, and maybe again, if this is something that's new for you, great, start somewhere. YouVersion has reading plans, great way to start. But maybe you've been doing this for a long time and you're like, it's kind of getting a little stale. Sometimes I read it too much. Well, mix it up. It's okay. Like maybe you've been using YouVersion for years and that's great. Maybe just you're like, if it's getting into a little bit of a rut, go to paper. They have these Bibles that are made of paper. And you can open, you have to turn the page. It's a little crazy. Unfortunately, you can't tap on a word and get the definition of it. I've actually tried that on paper books. I'm like, what does that word mean? Oh, right. But you can turn the pages. And let me tell you, this is just not really weird, but there's like magical Bible paper. It's not in anything else, but it's like this super thin paper. And I realized that, if you count how many pages, it's not really magical. But if you count how many pages there are in a Bible, like if that was normal book paper, it'd be like this big. So I'm really glad that somebody came up with that special Bible paper. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you just check out a Bible. It's weird. I don't know where it came from. Maybe there's some history of it. Someone will text me with that. But this idea of having a paper Bible, maybe that'll just mix it up for you. Having something to look at. Maybe listening to it. I know in our prime group a couple years ago, we were talking about that, about the advantages of listening to the Bible. Just if it's, and YouVersion has lots of that, where there's someone just reading the Bible to you. Maybe watching something related to the Bible. One of the things that's important, though, is that you don't allow whatever that other thing is, whether that's someone reading the Bible to you or watching the Bible, that you don't let that substitute for your study. Because just because you're kind of a sort of listening to someone else reading the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that you are being intentional about it. So just a note. But if you're in a rut, mix it up. Find different ways. It's okay. Because the most important thing, as we'll see at the end of this, isn't just that we kind of get through something, but it's that God uses it to change us, to become more like Jesus. We did a series called It's Elementary. And you can go to mc3church.org, click on Listen to the Point, and it's down there. It was all about how to study the Bible. So if you really want to get into, what does it look like to study? How do we do this? And I'm not saying you shouldn't study the Bible. We should. But this first step here isn't about getting super intense. It's about being intentional. But the It's Elementary series talked all about the three-part process of observation, interpretation, and application when it comes to studying and reading God's Word. And you know, a lot of times, and of course, as I teach, I'm like, this is what this word means, or this is what was going on in the passage. A lot of times that helps us to understand why God is saying this. I mean, to understand that Joshua was getting ready to lead this nation of thousands of people, and the guy that they've been following for 40 years did a crazy miracles with the 10 plagues, and he parted the Red Sea, and then he's dead, and they're like, Josh, you're the man. He's like, what? And if we understand that, then having God say, and I want you to be courageous, And your courage comes from studying the Word. Like, wow, that changes things a bit. So, It's Elementary talks all about that. You can find that online. So the first thing is study it. The second thing, I need to go faster here, is consider it. And this is tied to it. I didn't know what the best word was here. But not just read it, but take the time to think about it. Like, you know, one thing to read it and understand what you read. But then to consider it. Like, what did I just read here? What does this mean? How does this make a difference in my life? When Paul says this, how does that affect me at work? Or when this happened in Abraham's life, is there a principle here that I can take away and help apply it to my family? And this idea of considering it, of chewing on it. In Psalm 1, the psalm writer says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord." They crave it, meditating on it day and night. He says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. All their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." And that's that same idea. The more we're like Jesus, the more we're going to do things that Jesus wants. Therefore, we're going to be prosperous. But the whole point is here, this person delights in the law of the Lord. They meditated on it day and night. The word meditate means it actually has this idea of a growl or a murmur. The same Hebrew word that is used is what they would describe an animal going, And the word means just this kind of repetitive, kind of understanding, musing, reflectiveness. And so if we're going to consider, like, read something, and maybe what we looked at this morning, maybe later this week, maybe later today, you're like, what exactly did Peter say? What does that mean for me? Take the time to say, what is this? How does this apply? What can I learn from it? Just to think about it. Over in Psalm 119, it was written this way. It says, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And there's the obedience part, which we'll get to in a moment. But this idea of hiding God's word in our heart, like, are we like, memorize it, meditate on it, reflect on it. I have reflect, repeat, rewrite. Like, sometimes writing it down is a great way. And it sounds really shallow, but honestly, that's how a lot of my study happens. When I go to prepare to teach, I simply write the passage on paper, word for word, over to my notepad. And in doing that, I have to think about the words. And so maybe that's a way you can consider God's word. Maybe you memorize it. Maybe you write it out and you put it somewhere that you'll see it. Maybe it's on the dashboard of your car, not your windshield. That would be dangerous. But maybe it's on your mirror in the morning. Maybe it's just something that reminds you of what you read that week, or a way that you can chew on it. Another thing you could consider to do would be read the same passage multiple times. Read the same passage in different translations, different versions, just to get a different perspective on it. I know for me, I grew up on the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible. And so, you know, over the last few years, I've been very intentional about reading in a different version, the NLT, the NET, just to kind of get a different perspective. Because sometimes my brain, when I start reading like the first three words of the verse that I memorized when I was in middle school or in high school, my brain clicks off because I know the rest of it. And so just trying a different translation is a good way to do it. So study it, memorize, reflect, repeat, whatever. But the idea of considering it, of reflecting on it. So study it, consider it. I just said the wrong thing. Study it, consider it. And then the third thing is respect it. And this is kind of weird. You're going to have a chance to kind of chew on the weirdness of this, I guess, in your prime groups this week as well. Remember, you can go to mc3church.org/community and sign up. I'm talking to nobody. The camera's off. Sorry, habit. Old habits die hard. So tell your friends that they can sign up online. But to be a part of Prime Group there is important. But this idea of respecting it, and I mean, I grew up in a very, I don't say traditional, but my grandparents were very, like, my grandmother prayed in King James English. I don't know if that means anything to you, but suddenly she'd be talking to you, everything's normal, she prayed, all of a sudden Jesus is thee, thou, thou. You know, so they were very, very, like, formal in terms of how they saw church. And there were certain Bibles that you didn't touch because those were the important Bibles. You know, there was the table Bible. And not that, my point here is not make sure you don't throw your Bible on the counter. Like, I threw my Bible out of the window of my car one time. I was getting ready to go off to our youth group back when I was in high school, and it was sitting on the dashboard, and I had one of those flat dashboards, and I turned, and it went zing right out the window. So my grandmother might have been upset with me about that, but that's not what we're talking about here, okay? What we're talking about here is respecting the power and the abuse of it, potential. And in Timothy, this is what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." And this idea is, it's not about making sure your Bible is nice and clean and the edges aren't bent. Frankly, if your edges are bent on your Bible, it might mean you're reading it, and that might be a good thing. But he's saying, make sure you're handling it correctly. Make sure you respect the power that is in the Word of God. We did a series called Cropped a number of years ago. And that series was all about how people take the Bible and they crop off the parts that they don't want and just follow the parts that they do. And that can either be because there's something there that might be offensive, I don't want to read that, or that's really hard, or you know what, I have an opinion and I want to prove my opinion, so I'm going to kind of twist these Bible passages to work into my opinion. And we just need to be very careful with the Word of God, that we do respect it, that we correctly handle it, that we're not just trying to say, okay, I believe this, and so I'm going to find a way to prove it. That is not how to study the Bible. That is not how to read the Bible. And actually, that's what we talked about in the It's Elementary series. You start with, what does the Bible say, and let God speak to you through it. And if you're feeling uncomfortable about something you read, go with it. That's good. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. And the last song, Say the Word, talking about how His Word, you know, it works in us. And so Paul says, Timothy, when you do this, you know, make sure you're reading, you're approved by God. Make sure you don't need to be ashamed because you're handling the Word of God appropriately, that you're respecting the Word of God. And in that Crop series, I actually, I had a thing, it's on our website, actually. You can go to the Crop series, I think. Maybe it's in It's Elementary. Anyway, one of those two series, there is actually a King James Bible baseball story that we had on there, where it was taking all these different random passages and putting it together, and it tells a whole story of a baseball game. And it's just cropping the Bible and adjusting it to make it work however you want. And King James uses some phrases that fit baseball a lot better than some of the modern translations. Anyway, so it's just the whole point is that we need to be careful. We need to respect God's Word, that we're using it correctly, that we're not twisting it to meet our biases or twisting it to meet our desires, that we understand what it's all about. So those are the things so far. We need to study it, consider it, respect it, and now I just crashed here. That's great. And then the fourth thing is do it. Is do it. The whole point of all of this is that we do it, we live it, we apply it, that it makes a difference in our lives. Not just reading it, but actually doing what it says. It only matters if we apply it to our lives. In James 1:22, and we looked at this back in the Dupe series last spring. Can we say the word spring? Are we allowed to say that? Spring 2020. It's like I swore. I feel that way. But anyway, James says, don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Don't just read God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Otherwise, you're an idiot. He says, for if you listen to God's Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and then forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And again, that idea of blessing. Because we are doing what God wants us to do, He's going to bless us because we're becoming more like Jesus. But James says, don't just listen, don't just read. Do what it says. Apply it. Make a difference. Let it sink in. Let it challenge you. Jesus says it this way, and if you grew up in church, you probably misunderstood this passage as I did. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, hears them and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. So he says, if you hear my words and put them into practice. Notice it didn't just say, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rock is the word of God. It is not. The rock is not the Word of God. The rock is the person who puts the Word of God into practice. So if you grew up in church singing that song, it was wrong. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And the difference between the two wasn't the fact that they had the Word of God, because they both have the Word of God. They both heard the Word of God. The difference was one put them into practice and one did not. James says, if you don't do it, you're only fooling yourself. Jesus says, if you don't do it, you're a fool. It's not about knowing it, it's about doing it. And so that is the fourth thing when it comes to how do we do this. We study it. We consider it. We respect it. And we do it. That is how we grow to become more like Jesus. That is how we read His Word intentionally. And so the point here is that to build your relationship with God, you need to read His Word intentionally. It's just another building block. It's another piece. So, quickly, I want to go over these building blocks. There's a box of them back there. And I'd love, I said this last week, for each week, for you to take a block for your family, or maybe individually, maybe your family doesn't want to do this. But as you look at each week's point, for this week, we're talking about reading God's Word intentionally. I'd love for you to take one of these blocks, if you don't already have one, and as a family, commit to, I'm going to read God's Word intentionally this week. And there's 7 days in a week. What the heck is that? My beard is falling out. I have like 3 hairs in my mouth. Oh. Anyway, male pattern baldness. What am I saying? Okay, commit to at least half of the week. Four out of 7 days, that's more than half of the week. That as a family, we're going to read God's Word intentionally. And then if you do that week, just write the point on there, and there's instructions there on the wall as well. Write that on there, and then have everybody in your family that committed to that sign it. And it's just a way, as we said last week, if you want MC3 to be better, if you don't think MC3 is good right now, it's your fault. It's my fault because we are the church. And if we want to become a better church, if we want to become better people as a whole, we need to become better people individually. And so the idea is that each week as you complete one of these challenges, we start stacking them on the wall. We're going to see that together we become something way bigger because of our individual contribution. So what I'd like to ask about that, though, is that you only have one block at home at a time. So if you took one last week for some, you got one in your prime, whatever, for last week, and didn't complete that, that's cool. You can either try that same one again or just move on to the new week, but only exchange blocks, because we don't have enough for you to keep a stack of them at home that you didn't use. Also, and I'm talking to the camera that's not on again, but the prime group leaders all have some extra boxes in case you miss a week. Or we are not able to meet here in person. We have to go to live stream. But they're back there. And the idea is every week then you come in, put your block. It looks like there's a couple of them over there. Put your block over on the wall and we'll just start to build something together. Because as you and I grow individually, it is going to grow MC3 in amazing ways. It's going to grow us together. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you that it is a source for us, that it is a resource that we can go to, that the God of the universe has given us the tools to live by. And I pray that as we desire to grow in you, to become more like Jesus, that we would read your word intentionally, that we would study it, and that we would consider it, and that we would do it, but that we would be ones who aren't just getting through it, but actually growing in your word. And I pray for all these things that we're able to add to each week to build us to become more and more like Jesus, that as we grow individually, it will grow us as a body. And God, we are just so grateful to you for all of that. Thank you that we can meet in person this week, God. Just this one moment of grace, this one moment of thank you, Jesus. And so we just pray for the future. We trust you and pray that you would guide us and again, help us to study your word intentionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.